This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have a couple self-care non-negotiables. There are things I need to do every day. They may seem simple, but they go a long way. For me, it's movement, getting out of the apartment and going for a walk, which can be difficult when temps are super hot. And it's easy to let those priorities slip. But when you feel like you don't have enough time to stay centered, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever before. AGs know how important therapy has been in my life. I'm really open about it because it's important to talk about the things that make us feel better and the fact that there are tools available. I was nervous about starting therapy, about what it would mean to open up, and I cannot tell you how much that thinking has changed as a result of making that first step. I know that there is a safe space where I can go share exactly how I'm feeling and get positive, productive feedback. I feel stronger than I ever have before, and it's because of therapy. For everything life brings, big and small, therapy has helped me navigate. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andysgirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andysgirls. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Parenting is a core part of housewives. And my new fave friend of is ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. ByHeart's mission is simple: make the best formula in the world while using the latest in breast milk science. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. And ByHeart formula is clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code AndysGirls for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. I'll always open the door for Shannon Bedore.
I'm a triple threat. Actor, writer, and Gemini.
I was like, what's the third going to be? What's it going to be? I'm very excited for this. And it was. It was something fun, which I always enjoy. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode. And I am so excited to have a return guest back in the cloth, back in the people's place of magic. You know him as an actor, an entertainment writer, and of course, Bravoholic. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Jared Alexander. Jared, how are we?
It's so good to see you, Sarah. I'm so happy to be back. I feel like we're always bumping into each other at these Bravo things. They've been keeping us creators busy with these events lately. So it's good to like actually be able to like talk and debrief these shows because I feel like we're always just like, look over there. There's like, I don't know, some random Bravo celebrity.
And we just saw each other at Watch What Happens 15th anniversary taping. Yes. I have not watched the I haven't had a chance to watch the episode yet. Have you watched it?
You know, I haven't either, but I've had friends say that like they could see the whole audience. So I do think that you can see us, which is exciting. And I was like, we were stuck, like I was right behind a monitor. So I was like, no one's going to see me, which is fine. But you could see people. So I guess, I don't know if maybe when we were all standing, but I hear it was a great edit. It was a really... It felt really special to be there, didn't it? Like, it felt really nice to be invited to come. And I think that, like, it was a well-produced show. And it's always fun to be there because, you know, stuff gets cut out. And I feel like we saw a lot.
We really did. I mean, the fact that Andy had his kids there, his parents were bartenders, like, you felt that it was a special moment. Mm-hmm. I am really curious. And I sort of wish I had watched it as soon as possible because now I'm like, my memory's fading. But I'm curious how they constructed an episode around Sonia.
Correct. I was going to say, it's been well reported. I know Jeff Lewis has talked about it.
More than I mean, more than most.
I was ready to take that to the grave, to be honest. I was like, it's between us. But yeah, it was, it really colored the experience. So I am very curious to see how, it seems like from people I know who have watched it that like you could still tell, but I imagine it was, I can say to your listeners, it was definitely 10 times worse than whatever was edited around. It was really shocking, to be honest.
So I don't know if this is just because I'm like, been around for a while, or I thought I understood what was going on.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the whole time and I'm like, this is somebody who cannot, you know, deal with not being the focus of attention for a single second. So she just has the just competing thing in her mind of like, spotlight needs to be on me. It needs to be on me. I need to have a moment. Maybe there's some like feeling there of performing and she has limited opportunities. Currently she has her tour, but like when it comes to Bravo, I thought she was kind of putting on a little bit of a show. Mm-hmm. I thought she was not necessarily as intoxicated as it appeared, but was putting on a little show. And then from Jeff's version of events, and I think somebody else, but I forget who, you know, there was, I guess, a little bit of a situation of someone maybe adjusting or swapping out her drink for water or something, and she, or just declining the opportunity to give her a cocktail, and she wasn't thrilled with that. But he's saying, Jeff is saying that like during commercial break, she was just as seemingly drunk. So either she's method or this was truly, she truly.
Full Daniel Day, right?
Yeah. I think that she was a cobbler. Okay. She was a cobbler. She moved to Italy.
I think two things would be true. I think it's absolutely that attention thing. And it, you know, these, especially with Lou and Sonia, like they're not really on the network proper as often anymore. So of course you want to go, you want to make a splash. I felt like from, and again, these, it's a small studio, but the vantage points are all different. Like from what I was able to tell, I did notice things in the commercial break where I was like, oh, it's not just when we're rolling, like just her behavior. Which again, a part of it isn't shocking because it's just how she's behaved on the show, you know, but it was weird to watch it in person. And then also it felt, I felt like it took a turn when they did like more of like the after showy things like later on. I forget what the question was. I just was like, oh, this is interesting. And I think again, I'm always gonna love OG Roni. It's like, it feels like it's like one of the houses that built this network.
Yeah.
But I do feel like we have these little check-in moments where it makes sense why the decision was made. And there were so many things that went into it. I feel like a lot of times lately when we talk about the Roni reboot and people are like, let's just reboot it. There's one issue. And I feel like that was such a singular thing where there were like 10 things that were not working, you know? And a cast that is like really talented, but like you kind of can't make a show off of like three people that still work. And some of them, look at Lou. She's thriving, I think, in a way that she wasn't able to in a format that didn't necessarily suit that much growth. 14, 15 years in reality TV is really rough. And we're going to talk about OC and they're making it work. But even still, all those women had a big break.
Yeah.
The ones who are back outside of Shannon.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, I think that like it really showed to me. I was like, oh, I think the decision was really good in multiple ways. And not that these women shouldn't work or anything, but it's like to build a show, or like it seemed like it was energy that was hard to manage, you know?
Yeah, I also
for that long.
Totally. And I also think this is like one of those things of how did I become famous? How did I become popular? And misunderstanding. Like Sonia thinks being a maybe a little bit of a drunken kind of agent of chaos mess is the thing that made her popular, but that's just, that's not what made her popular. That's not how we understood her to be the first season. And that shouldn't be the thing that we're kind of left with. It feels like she's confusing some of the spiraling out binge drinking on New York with a way to get attention, but not all attention is good attention, especially if you're not currently on a show. It's just telling us that you're not, she just seemed out of sorts and out of control. And it was uncomfortable because she, you know, first rule I would think of good TV is like make good TV. She was inhibiting that because she was interjecting so much that no one could really have a conversation, which from like a clip package perspective is difficult. Just to keep the train on the track, she was derailing it in a way that is counterproductive.
Absolutely. And I, yeah, it's tough. Again, I think the landscape is different. I think we talk about alcohol differently on these shows. Mm. I think not even just with, you know, a lot of the reckonings that have come and a lot of like the ways in which we know now how like sets are a little different now in terms of like the drinking. I think just as a culture, it's just a little bit different. And that was, again, another thing about Roni that like for a lot of people were like, it was fun to watch them operate in this way for so many years. And now maybe it's just not working like it did, you know? So I think there's a lot of things. Again, also, this took a turn. It still was an amazing show.
Like, oh my God, it was so
it
great.
It was incredible.
No,
and
no, no, it, was great,
and
great.
It still was like to see them. It's like that BravoCon feeling of like, look over there. Like there's all these different Bravo celebrities and it's like a favorite little all-stars moment. So like that was good. It just was, that was like, you know, it's always interesting when in the wild they're as advertised.
Yeah.
These Bravo celebrities. And sometimes it is such a relief and amazing. And then other times you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This is who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I from my experience, I think it's a lot more frequent than you'd realize that like people don't, they're maybe turned up a notch on TV, but you are who you are. That's really hard to hide, you know?
But how much of that was created by being on the show? How much of the Sonia that we saw that night is the product of what happens when you're on a specific kind of reality TV show for many, many years, and then mm-hmm. it's essentially taken away? How much of that is the product of like changing over the course of reality TV changing you versus I was maybe like this before I was on the show. I just didn't show you that initially when I joined.
1,000%. I think that's the where we are now with Bravo is like a lot of the monsters that they created, and monsters, not even just in a negative way, just like a lot of just the ways in which we've made these stars. You could draw a direct line with everything that's going on with Kenya, which we don't know exactly what happened, but still there is a layer to that where I do have a lot of sympathy where I'm like, I think from their perspectives are like, this is what I was told to do. This is what I like. This is my job. This is like what I've been rewarded with. Is big swings like this and like, you know, doing these shocking things and being messy and shady. And then when a line is crossed, which for a lot of us is like a very clear line, like you shouldn't do this, but the line has been blurred the whole time. That's the name of the game, you know, and you can point to, that's why now where we are now with these shows, it's hard because you can say, well, that's weird because like on this show, that was a hard no. But then how come on this show, this person is still on the show and vice versa? You know, like how it's a very weird. And I think we're in a tricky time where I think we're still going to see those things where like a lot of these stars feel. And I think in some instances, rightfully, really. Not disappointed, but really like not protected necessarily by the network that kind of did enable behavior. Whether they like it or not, you know, behavior that we all love, that yeah. we all watched and ate up.
And behavior that a person could argue isn't intended to be necessarily likable, but a moment. It's like, how far out can you push and cross the line? And then who gets blamed for it when that line is crossed? Like the network at a certain point is going to be like, dust off our hands. Right. That's on you. You're the one that made the choice. Maybe we weren't aware. But then this is a more difficult conversation that maybe some people attempt to make legal, sometimes for understandable and completely accurate reasons, sometimes less so, more confusing of like, no, you were, what was the environment that was mm-hmm. created in which I felt that this was comfortable? Like, mm-hmm. what were the incentives to crossing lines? I don't know how that works legally and otherwise when it comes to specific circumstances, yeah. how you connect those dots. Especially if there wasn't a trail of communication about them, but mm-hmm. that's an attempt that's being made.
That's what's tricky. And again, I wasn't there. None of us were. We don't know what happened. In my mind, it gets really sticky with these situations with the alleged reports of the Atlanta thing, for example, where it's like, I know there are a lot of people in rooms, you know, and I know like to get like a poster board in a room, like someone's going to see that. There are like a lot of people who work on these shows. So sometimes I feel like...
Who went to Staples?
Yes. So then sometimes yeah. I'm kind of like, I do think, and again, it's a whole legal thing. It is much easier to just be like, we don't know
that it's a legal
anymore.
Thing.
That's true too.
It's right now, it's not a legal thing. It's an right. employment thing,
right.
which you can make and a legal thing. But
so that is where making TV like this is definitely, I'm sure, getting trickier and trickier because you could point to, I'm sure, a lot more than just Kenya who were around. Like, it's really hard to imagine nobody seeing anything before it happened, you know? And maybe that happened. Listen, she's been doing this for a long time, and that would be a gag. But Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think she'll be back? Not this season, but...
I feel like we're always in never say never territory with these housewives, except literally probably Nene and Bethany at this point. Like, there are some where, like, things have gone too far. I don't see that ever happening. I'm worried that with Kenya, it might wind up being a never thing because of how she's talked about how she feels and how... It's so hard. But then again, I will say, like, for some people would look at what Phaedra did and be like, that is way worse than what Kenya did. And it just took a little time for the temperature to cool. And now everyone's so excited about Phaedra. So that is, and I adore her, but I think that it is a really hard where you're like, wait, come on now. You know, like, how bad is it really? And I think that is where the hypocrisy really must frustrate the talent because, and even the reports of maybe wanting to court Phaedra back to do some scenes for Atlanta to, like, kind of save it. It's kind of, it just feels a little, it's a little cheap to me. Like, I'm like, that doesn't, you, Phaedra, first of all, Phaedra and Kenya are two completely different types of talent. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't cure anything. And also, and I adore her, she did an amazing job on Traitors. I felt like her Married to Medicine performance was C plus at best. B minus.
Well, because she doesn't organically fit.
Correct.
She doesn't have relationships with any of these women. And they're like, we know each other from TV.
Yes. And Phaedra's amazing at quips.
Yeah.
She's a confessional assassin. Mm-hmm. You want her there. She's never been the most transparent or the most open about her life. Something that you expect on, like, a Married to Medicine or Housewives. So, like, I don't think that's a fix. It's weird. And that, and I see how people are like, well, how did, what? Like, you know, because it's, that was, and that was, like, pre-reckoning. Should that happen now? I don't think we ever would have seen Phaedra again. Because I think it would have been a whole different, I think maybe Candy could have pursued, and again, I don't know how these things work. But I think now in the ways in which, like, legal matters have become such a big thing, I don't see why Candy wouldn't have, like, pursued Phaedra legally for that, for, like, mm-hmm. all of her businesses and everything, and vice versa. So I think we're just in new territory, which is scary. And I want to say, too, at the end of all this, I hope everyone is safer at the workplace and everyone feels more protected and all these things. But it is, you know, how do you feel? I feel like we've just been in murky waters for, like, a year now.
I mean, it is somewhat ironic that if they're looking at Phaedra to join Atlanta, that it would be specifically at this point as a result of Kenya leaving the show because of an act dealing with, like, slut shaming, revenge porn. I mean, I got into all the details on a deep dive on AG Classic recently, just kind of, like, getting into the nitty gritty of what we knew then. And to be honest, not a lot has changed since. Except that there was, like, some speculation, understandably so, that there would be no discussion of this on whatever ends up being aired, which makes a lot of sense. And also that would become, I think, a liability issue, too.
Yeah.
Because there are so many questions in the air about this. And I also think, all of that being said, it would be... I would not be against Phaedra returning. I do think, though, that the one thing with Phaedra, who I love, who I think is so talented, who is so good on Traitors, she has been asked recently, is there anything that you regret? And she has consistently said no. And I don't know if that's because of legal issues. I don't think. And she is also a licensed attorney. I don't know what it would mean. I wish that there was some way to bridge the gap here and say, yeah, I do regret some of my behavior and I'm in a different place now or whatever, for whatever reason. And I'm going to attribute it, project it, whatever. She hasn't done that. And to me, that's just, like, the one last thing of, like, can you please say that you fucked up in some way? Just take responsibility here, because it just extends a little bit of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Do I think she would be great on Atlanta? Absolutely. Do I think, though, that that necessarily solves the problem of Kenya's absence? No, which is why I said previously, I actually think bring back Phaedra in whatever role, and Quad, who does not
make Married to Medicine anymore.
And not, I'm not equalizing in any way Quad and Kenya, but I am saying Quad has that something extra special about her, and is, she will dance in a little bit of the gray, not always great, but she just has that kind of energy that is not, it's not apples to apples, you know, peaches to peaches. It is, though, to say it would be really interesting and would make the show watchable, because right now I think a lot of the air is out of the room, a lot of the excitement's out, like the balloon has deflated for a lot of people.
Beyond
not great. If I was Portia, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, make this shit work. I don't know. I think Married to Med is filming right now. So yeah. I don't even understand how any of that would work out. But I think, you know, Atlanta's in a really, really difficult spot. Look, hire, promote from within.
Honestly, that...
Transfer from within. Married to Med is the best show on Bravo, but transfer within.
Beyond. And that quad, that is so absolutely right. I think she is a type of housewife. I wrote a piece about this when the news all broke like 2 weeks ago for The Root. And I was just talking about how it feels like the environment for Bravo doesn't have room for that type of gray area reality star anymore. And that's not to justify any of this behavior. I feel like we don't watch this to be like, I would do that. But I think there used to be way more room for a housewife who did kind of, who was like, everyone either like loved or they hated to love them, or like they kind of were like, we forget, like Kenya, we all love Kenya, but like she was really polarizing.
Oh, I hated Kenya
to the point where I don't think with our social media engagement now with shows, I don't think a Kenya would last on a show. I just don't. And I think back in the day, you probably would have kept a Monica Garcia. And it would have been messy as hell, but you probably would have kept her. And I could probably think of like a lot of different housewives who are just talent who absolutely, we just have clearer lines now. And again, I want to clarify, I think that's good. I think we should have lines. But I think that when we now talk about how a lot of us feel like, oh, these shows just aren't hitting like they used to, or like things are kind of happening, or they're kind of boring or kind of stale, it's kind of like we kind of don't have the room anymore for wives like that and for talent. And I'm sure it's got to be a bummer, again, for someone like a Kenya who's like, this is what I've been doing. People have hated me for it, and I've done my job anyway, and I've showed up and I've done it, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people could say that. And it's gonna be interesting moving forward. And I think the Roni reboot cast is a good look at that, which I do enjoy it. And I think we talked a bit about this. I like the reboot fine. I gave it like a B. I was like, honestly, like, they promoted the shit out of it.
They really did.
We went to that party. Phenomenal. I mean, it was one of the best nights.
Rainbow Room.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They put a lot of money into it, and it was really, like, it was of the moment. People love to talk about the catch thing, and it was like culturally things happened, Tribeca up and coming, these things. But I was like, it's a B. Then BravoCon happened, and I was like, oh, these women are stars. Like, the way that the people ran to them, they had the biggest panel of the weekend. It was huge. It was like people were just waiting, like standing on the walls. I was like, oh, this works. And what's interesting about that cast is there isn't a single person who I think really sits in that. And I think a lot of the complaints of it are like, nothing really happens on it. Like, it's fine. And I think that is just maybe where we're gearing towards, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. I still think that show has a lot to offer. And also, to be fair, with Roni Reboot, we know that they filmed a lot before. And there was also a casting that they lost. So, like, I always give them grace. I'm like, guys, I do think they were out of gas, because, like, there was, like, a whole thing that happened before. So we'll see how season two happens. But I think that, it feels like we are gravitating towards those, maybe like a bit, we lean more on the lifestyle, you know, like and I always think of like, what's like the competition right now for eyeballs from like a network perspective? It's like those shows like Selling Sunset, Selling the OC, all these things that are like still drama heavy, but really lifestyle-y. And one thing I really enjoy about the Roni reboot, honestly, is that it really feels like fucking New York. Yeah. Like, it's like, ooh, this is chic. Like, when you're in Jenna Lyons' apartment, and when you're at these, seriously, and no, and again, I love our OGs, but we were really getting chic.
You don't go to Cipriani every day.
Correct.
100%.
So I think that we're in like an evolution mode. And I do think that it's less and less of these polarizing figures, because we can't sustain that energy anymore.
Well, it's interesting that you're bringing this up, because I do think that there's a natural evolution to Orange County, just in terms of conversation, but also the evolution of RHOC in terms of the drinking of it all, the lines blurring, IRL, how that it influences storyline on the show, and also chaos agents. I could make the argument potentially, and no one knows what's going to happen in the future, let alone potentially Kenya, but like, I could see her coming back, this being some sort of pause, something being worked out, and hopefully, maybe I'm being overly optimistic, her returning to the show. Maybe a pause would be a good thing. We've seen it very successfully done with Tamra, but when you talk about chaos agents and expiration dates, I mean, the New York reboot is certainly needs a chaos agent. I don't know how long that they would last.
Beyond.
They considered Jessel a chaos agent and it did not work out in their favor. They misunderstood how the audience would receive her. I think with Orange County, it's so interesting because Tamra created the modern housewife. Oh, yeah. She created the chaos agent archetype. She needed to be put on pause. That needed to happen. Mm-hmm. She's now saying she's glad it happened. I believe her when she says that. And now she's back and it's like, okay, well, now we're in this different territory here and we're dealing with really intense real life stakes. How does Tamra, is there an expectation of return spiritual OG housewives that they acclimate to some sort of the temperature of the room? Or is that like way too much pressure, entirely unrealistic and counterproductive?
I think it's a dance. And I think if anyone can do it, it's Tamra. She is, like you said, like, I really feel like with the break that she had, with her pause, it really let us all... I was one of the people calling. I was like, Tamra's got to go.
100%.
The show isn't working more because of 100%. Her. And we all know what happened after she left.
I know. We weren't wrong, by the way.
No, we weren't.
We weren't wrong.
We weren't wrong.
But it was also bad.
And absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes.
And it's funny, because I was talking to Sam Bush about this, and... You are the same thing. I met both of you guys talking about Bravo and Clubhouse in 2020. And
oh my God, is that how we met?
I think that's how we kind of started. Holy shit, yeah, which is a long time ago now.
That's crazy.
Orange County was literally one of the worst shows I think I'd ever seen in my life that year.
Oof.
And I know you just did a rewatch of the COVID season.
Was that 15? Oh yeah, duh. Oh my God, and I literally just watched
it. I saw your story. That
was tough.
Was
it started
really,
off okay?
It started okay,
and then
the wheels. If we're gonna be honest, the wheels really. And again, I don't think it's just her, but the wheels really fell off the second Heather DeBro left the first time. It started to just dip a little. It was still good, but something shifted. Like you brought in Peggy and Lydia, and it was like, oh, okay. And there were great moments. Quiet Woman, Ireland or Iceland, great. Then after that, okay, we're going to like do our first kind of reboot-ish. And it's like Emily Gina. Then that kind of worked. And then they brought Bronwyn. Okay. And then Kelly, we know what happened. And then it just was like so much. Tamra, Vicky left. Now I feel like with Tamra, to go back to what I was even saying, is that we saw it in this premiere. Mm. People are, no matter what, I think Tamra knows, like people are going to bitch about her. Mm-hmm. And they're going to either, or they're going to say, oh my God, thank God she's here. We needed this. And I can see her in a way that 5 years ago, she would have operated so differently with the Shannon thing. And even seeing her have a little bit of restraint or just kind of lean with a like, I love Shannon and I'm always going to love her. I can't do this because it's too much for me. Mm. And here's why. And people are still going to have their opinions on that and are still going to think that maybe she's being too hard on her. Or she's not human or like kicking her while she's down. But she's still standing to who she is. But also, I think, has a compassion that like before she would have just been like breathing fire the second she saw her. And I think that even in her confessionals, the way she talks about it, she's way more practical about it. Like, she's like, here's what happened. The Trace Amiga show was all about drinking. It made me uncomfortable. It was way too close to it. I saw that she was drinking in my presence and said that she wasn't. I had to pull away. And I think coming from that, instead of her being like, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that, which is very much, that's how Tamra usually operates. Mm-hmm. So I found it interesting how she, also, I think 2T's, is such a huge part of it. Like, say what you want. I think when that podcast was first announced, we were all like, what? Now it's like, it's a really successful podcast.
Really successful.
And they do, I don't listen faithfully, but like when they have interviews, I listen because they're really good interviews because they're two women who have done it. Mm-hmm. So they just ask certain questions that like you or I, we have, I think, great questions, but they've been in the process.
Totally different conversation. So it's different. Totally different.
And I think that it's like, she knows that and she watches these things. So I think that's kind of the answer. And I think if anyone can do it, it is Tamra. And listen, we still have other housewives who are certainly shakers and are, I'm trying to think of like other like legacy shows right now who have, you have someone like I really do enjoy her. I know we might talk about it in a bit, but like, I think a Margaret kind of operates in that way too. She feels throwback in a little bit, not as polarizing, but she will say how she feels.
I think she's pretty polarizing.
Not as, I guess, I compared to, maybe not polarizing is the right word. Not as chaotic as like.
Yeah, let's I think say she's more polarizing than Tamra, but not as chaotic as
Tamra. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Right. I think they operate in similar ways, but I think she isn't a chaos agent like a Danielle Staub or a Brandi Glanville or someone like that.
Okay.
But she moves in that way. And I feel like you have to have a balance, because then it's funny, like even the a few episodes ago when people were like, oh my god, wait, is Jersey kind of good this year, with the message and the screenshot. Mm-hmm. It was so fun to see so many people, even people who are like diehard tree huggers, who were like, I have to say that was fucking amazing. And like, I feel like that is the test,
yeah,
of how that this works now. If you can do that, like when you, like when I am like, I just have to give it up, that was amazing, you know, like that's kind of what we come here for. So I feel like Tamara, I think we'll be good with that.
Now that Real Housewives of New Jersey is going on a bit of a pause, I have turned my attention to a different kind of Garden State. That's right, Palm Street. In the words of Teresa, I want to say thank yous to Palm Street for sponsoring this episode. Palm Street is the number one live shopping app for plants, crystals, and crafts. There are rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods available. I love that Palm Street has such an incredible community. Not exactly similar to the folks talking about RHONJ. There are buyers and sellers you can connect with, live streams where you can see other people's questions pop up live and learn what other people like, how to care for plants that you may or may not have. I have owned one plant in my life, rest in peace, Sonia Tremont Morgan, the plant. So I'm excited to get a new one, Sonia Tremont Morgan II, thanks to Palm Street. You can connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. It's super fun, easy, and convenient to shop on the app through live shows that happen 24/7. There's a marketplace or purges, which are like IG stories. And P.S., they have great human customer support. And how many companies these days actually have a person available to help you and not a sad robot? Try shopping on Palm Street today and find your next plant friend of. Go to the link in the podcast description for this episode. New users get a $5 app credit, 10% off their order, and $6 off shipping for 3 orders. And find that next plant friend of. Jackie not included. One of my favorite people in the entire world is Fabio, who I also call Fabi and Fobs. He's really my New York City uncle, the super of my building. We've known each other for about 87 years since I moved in. And there's a lot to love about Fabi. One of my favorite things about him is that he's such a family man. And on the weekends, holds these amazing, vibrant, fun cookouts. And since he is my personal hero, I knew exactly what to give Fabio, aka Fabi, aka Fobs. Hero Bread. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. Since Fabi loves to use the grill, I knew that Hero Bread's new Hawaiian rolls would be perfect. And Fabio agreed. They're light, delicious, and while the rolls are great for fun summer sliders, Hero Bread works year-round. Healthier sliced bread and tortillas, which fit easily into health goals. Fabio does a lot of physical work here in the building, and he has a big family. And also, I will never allow him to retire. Hero Breads works great for those big family events or if you just want to pick up summer snack. Hero Breads has something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new-to-you styles. Now, as you know, the Clawfis is a place for dreams. And my dream this summer is to wear a very specific dress that I have had my eye on for months. The Sachin and Bobby Audra dress. It's a midi dress that looks like something that just dropped out of the 60s. My personal favorite.
Thanks to Armoire, I'm able to rent the dress, try it on in two colors, thank you so much, green and this beautiful summer floral. And if I decide I want to keep it, that's an option too. This is an item that the Clawfus has been looking forward to having for so long, and thanks to Armoire, I finally get the chance to try it. Armoire is perfect for AGs. You always have something new to try without the hassle and closet clutter. And it's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andysgirls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andysgirls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
And I think with chaos agents, there's a difference between being a chaos agent and thriving in that and thriving in complications. Mm-hmm. And I think some of this, while I do think there's a lot of gray area here with why Tamara left the tour.
Totally.
And it being entirely about Shannon drinking versus she also had a competing tour with 2Ts. Some of that could be, listen, people have feelings about Teddy Joe Carrot, me certainly at the front of the line there. But I think that that's a less complicated dynamic mm-hmm. than what was going on at that point with Shannon, potentially even with Vicky when it came to relationships. And Tamara made the judgment call of which she's now painting in a potentially slightly different picture of I'm going to do this thing. Maybe she has more ownership in it. And also it's not as complicated as what's going on. I think that's a part of it too. I think Tamara's making different decisions. Maybe she doesn't feel as beholden to this or as mm-hmm. invested in this because she has this other thriving industry.
Correct.
And Vicky and Shannon are working on this tour. They're in New York next week. Mm-hmm. Are we going? I think I feel like I need to get tickets. I know.
Is it? It's at City Vineyard?
Yeah, I City think. Winery.
Yeah, City Winery, yeah.
I feel like we need to go.
I know, it'd be fun. It's successful. Like, listen.
Yeah,
like
I need to see my queen.
Yeah, hello. I'm interested too. I'm excited to get into the nitty gritty, and it seems like we have a sit down coming up, which OC is so good with sit downs. I can't wait. Because at BravoCon, we saw them. They were great. Like the Tres Amigas were there together in support of Shannon because the DUI had happened a couple months before.
Happened a month before.
Right. So I'm excited to get into the nitty gritty of what happened after. And the thing about OC, I just think that the Tamara, Heather Dubrow, Shannon Bador trio.
My God.
Just Holy Trinity. Work.
Yeah. Holy Trinity.
And they will mix and match and move, and it mm-hmm. always works. And I think it does seem like Tamara and Shannon are really reaching a point where, like, they may not come back from this, but we always feel this way. And I think that, like, even again, the love being there is so different than how it's been before, you know?
What do you think is behind Tamara's anger toward Shannon? Because it's really not even just anger, it's rage. How much of that can a person attribute to Shannon's decision to get in the car that night? Mm-hmm. It feels like that is what Tamara is using a little bit. I don't mean that as a criticism, but like all of her focus seems to be bridging from that, the decisions mm-hmm. that led up to it, what happened since. Is that enough to attribute to this like genuine seething anger that I feel like I see?
Right. Yeah. I think it's so hard because at least what I'm able to read from it is it's a lot of it is the capacity to be close with someone like that. And I feel like we mm-hmm. see this a lot on shows. If you look at Carol and Bethany and how that, at least how I finally, and we're always going to be wondering, but I feel like it really is like Carol just could not be that close to her anymore.
It was exhausting.
Correct. And I think we've heard for years, and eerily, it's very similar. I always say this, and it's not because they both just had DUIs, but with Karen and Shannon, it has been years and years of seasons of people being like, you call drunk in the middle of the night, you don't remember it. Mm. Like, it's just been like a constant thing. And I think it seems to me like it probably is a lot of energy to be that close with Shannon. Mm-hmm. It does seem like, and that's something we love about OC, these women are integrated into their lives. They go out to dinner, they talk on the phone, they vacation together, all those things. And it probably seems like not just on the show, then you're doing the live show, and you're all close, and it probably was just too much. And like you said, she has other things to fall back on. She has the successful podcast, Vina's successful also too, and she's going to be on the show whether or not she's good friends with Shannon or not. So I think that, again, I'm excited to dive into the exact why, because I don't think it's just the DUI, because she was still close with her when it happened.
That's what she called her. Confusing.
She literally, Shannon said it on the carpet at BravoCon. She was like, yeah, no, like, she called me that day. She felt so bad because she had to go to Trader's. She just wanted to be in bed with me. Then she stayed with Vicky at our house. Like, it was in the dealings with that show. So I'm excited to get into that. And I don't think, one thing too that I find exciting, and again, I give this to the women because they are not dumb. They've all been doing this for a long time, especially Heather, Shannon, Tamara. They know that, like, no one wins in a gang up season. And if we learned anything from last year, it was like Heather came out on top. It was like probably her best season to date. And she's been doing this for a long time because it felt like everyone was turning on her and it was kind of nonsensical. And she just, Heather's so good when she's in defense.
Yeah.
Like that first season she came back, it was good to have her back, but it didn't really work because she can't operate that like alpha. It just, it doesn't, you don't want to root for her as much. It was so good to want to root for Heather. And I think that you can tell in this, like, it doesn't feel as much as like Shannon's got her opponents. It does not feel like a gang up. You know what I mean? It feels like Heather really was checking in on her and making sure she was okay.
Yep. Emily too.
Gina could have operated a completely different way.
100%.
Emily too. It's like, it really does feel like the issues are going to be with the people and people are going to hold people accountable, but it doesn't, going into this, you're like, oh my God, it's everyone against Shannon. And Gina had the right to do that. Like, Gina could have been like, fuck you, honestly. And didn't. So I'm excited to see what it brings. But yeah, in terms of like the Tamara, I don't know, but I'm sure we're going to find out.
With all things Heather, I mean, maybe she should write a thank you note to Katie, because it sounds like she's on defense with whatever.
Correct.
What is this? I don't even want to know, but like, maybe I do want to know a little, but I don't want to know that. Katie, you're a liar thing. Do we even know what that's about? I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I'm excited to watch it unfold. I think it's really bold to come for Heather, but people always do when they come on the show. I feel like maybe because it's easy to be like, she's pretentious. She's the, and we've all seen her. She definitely can be.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty bold. And I'm curious. I also think, to be fair, it's like you got Shannon who's going through her stuff, and yes, she's going to deal with Alexis. You know, like, who are you? Like, it does seem like, and not that I'm not saying she came premeditated, but if you are going to, you know, scrap with someone, it's interesting how like the one person who she kind of had sort of met before is what's happening. But I feel like that's what happens. You know, it's like, I'm trying to think of someone. Who was it? It's like Amory and Crystal. You know, or being like, we met before, or whatever. Which I'm also just, firing Crystal was the. Anyway, we don't have to go there. I'm just so upset. But yeah, it's. I feel like that's a common trope. Is like, you know, like, I met you, I've known you from around, and I like, you're pretending like you didn't know me. But she seems great. I feel like casting an OC has been really hard, and they did such a good job with Jen. And it feels like this girl's going to be great too. Like, we really were just cycling through for years. And Emily and Gina lived to tell the tale. They lived 5 reboots long. It is like,
who, if you had told me back then that they would survive this, I would have been like, why? Well, how and why?
It's crazy. And it only feels like they're on seasons 2 or 3 because every single year they knew no one.
Yeah.
They came in new, then the OGs left, and then it was like, okay, well, here's Bronwyn. Okay, well, here's, and then they left too. And then it was like, okay, here's Noella. Here's Dr. Jen. Here's Heather Dubrow. You know of her. You've never filmed with her. Then you bring, it's literally like, this is the first time they've had like a group around them that hasn't completely changed in the past 2 to 3 years or 2 years. It's kind of wild. Like, even like Gina being like, and Shannon too, like, they've never filmed with Alexis. So like, we're familiar. But for them, like, Gina does not know her really at all. And Shannon, obviously, they're in the same ecosystem and the lawsuit and everything. But like, it still blew my mind. I was like, oh no, Shannon and Alexis have never filmed together. This is like their first season together.
Well, they're going to be doing a lot.
Seems like it.
I mean, that first, I was not expecting them to go against each other in the first episode.
Shannon went right for it.
She did. And she did it in a way where I was like, listen, both of them are being potentially a little bit dishonest, of like Shannon saying, I'm totally over John and it's all about the lawsuit. And Alexis saying everything else that she said in response. And
The lawsuit is, to me, really interesting. I didn't know about the cease and desist.
Right.
If you had told me that Alexis was in some way involved in it, was seeking vengeance or revenge, mm-hmm. I would believe you. Her response to me was not denying it. It was like, show me the papers and it's been 3 years. Let's move on.
Right.
Which makes me think that Shannon has a case and so does Alexis in saying you're not. She's trying to invalidate everything that Shannon is saying by saying it's only about John. You're halfway there. It's certainly about the case.
Correct.
She would like you to write her a $300,000 check. Does she think that's going to happen? No. But also, it's about John. It's not even about her dating John, which it absolutely is. It's about her bringing John on the show. Mm-hmm. And the only way to talk around that without giving him any additional power is to focus on the lawsuit.
Correct. And it's a great move on her part, but you're right. I think they both are being dishonest because it is about both and probably equal parts. You know, I think the lawsuit, I remember like they openly would, as much as they could, Tamara and Shannon would be asked about it constantly and they would talk about how much money they were spending off this lawsuit. So like,
it's ridiculous.
It's a lot.
It's ridiculous.
And I would be really upset. It'd be really painful. On top of the fact that she dated this guy who she talked openly about how this lawsuit was ravaging her financially and they get together. That is horrible. So that I feel like, but it was probably frustrating from Alexis's perspective to hear her just be like coming at her for this lawsuit that from her perspective, she has nothing to do with. And she's not talking about the real issue, the real elephant in the room. So it was kind of interesting. And those are the best housewife fights when they're like both a little right, both a little wrong, you know? And I think instinctively, I have so much loyalty for Shannon because we've watched Shannon longer. And like, we know Alexis, but it feels like who's this chick who's just like coming in? But it gave us a great scene. And I love how Bravo is really found the sweet spot in breaking the fourth wall. Them just showing us how they set up that scene and them dragging the metal,
the metal table. We'll never get over it.
It's just enough because you can't do these shows anymore without giving something because it's just not interesting because other shows are showing everything, you know? And I feel like Bravo has really towed the line. And I'm trying to think of other big breaking the fourth wall moments. They know when to do it and they do it sparingly. If it was all the time, then it wouldn't work. But that, it just really set the scene for how awkward this is, for how uncomfortable it is, for how serious it is for both of them. Like, it just, like, it helped tell the story. And I feel like that is, if you're just breaking the fourth wall to break the fourth wall, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It, again, it loses its power. But I think, like, Bravo as a brand has been really good at selectively doing that. Because I think once you just, like, rip it all off, then, like, there's no, you know, you can even look to like as crazy as it was, like the Pump Rules finale, that like that colored a lot of what the fuck we saw the whole season. We were like, what's going on? And then we were like, oh, that makes sense. Or like that Jersey finale when like you think it was you find out that Teresa is the one who said to pull the hair, but we don't know until the end and they break the come on. Like,
are you locking yourself in a bedroom?
That's storytelling, right?
Because it was that tomorrow.
It was like, oh my God, what? Like, and it,
Melissa being like, it's gonna be on
TV. It's gonna be, yes. I know. That was like, I remember that was one of the first big moments. I have chills right now talking about it.
Excellent storytelling.
I was like, oh my God. So yeah, I think that it's definitely, it was a banger episode, Sarah. It was so good.
It was. And it's also one of those things that's interesting because often with like, quote unquote, powerful, successful housewives, there is a conversation. Maybe it's rumors. Maybe it's people making hypotheses because we're all feeling a little bit paranoid about the ways that different housewives are supported and maybe defended by production. And I'm sure that's true to some capacity. And then you look at my poor sweet Shan. And it's like, in no way, not that they could have taken the keys out of her hands, but like, there's just something about Shannon being laid to bear and everyone standing over her season after season after season, where I'm like, can someone please help our girl a little? Because she does not do a great job of helping herself.
No, and that, but I think, Sarah, that that is what makes us want to root for her even now.
I know.
I think if she was even a bit more savvy, if she wasn't her own worst enemy, it would be a lot harder to root for her. But I think that there is something about her that, yeah, she makes her own bed, but we want to help her get out of it, you know, in some way. And it's hard. I mean, listen, like last reunion was a doozy. Contextually, because the DUI happened a week after they filmed it, and then they added the tag.
Crazy.
And then the Gina and her stuff and the DUI stuff. Like, it really felt like it was like, oh, oh God, this is, and Shannon's had plenty of oh God moments. You know, there's that running joke. She's never had like a good scene. Has ever been like, oh my God, she just sailed through this. She's like, she's just the MVP.
She works for every penny.
It is exhausting, I imagine. But I think that queen. That is a part of the recipe of Shannon Bedore. There's like a, she's like a tragic Shakespearean character of her. Even on Watch Happens Live, where she was like, yep, I don't speak to John. I don't speak to David. Like, she just is like, and I do think it's so, it's, yeah, I'm endlessly fascinated with Shannon. And I think that's why she's still there, you know? Like, you just like, we're invested in her, and the DUI was a doozy. And I'm interested to see what the, I suspect Potomac will be similar, or I don't think it's going to be a Karen Huger gang up, because that doesn't make sense. But like, there is a, yeah, there's like, there's a lot there. I don't know if it's because we're New Yorkers. I just like, I can't wrap my mind around getting in a car after drinking.
Oh, no. Well, first off, we don't have cars.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm like, I just, especially when you are, you have that much access, when it's like, it's not a money thing. You can pick up the car in the morning.
And it wasn't even too blitzed out to know what you were doing, which obviously would still be a huge situation. It's John saying, don't do it. And her doing it because of ego, that she wanted to spite him.
Correct.
Like,
and they were. And that's the thing, too, contextually. I want to get into the nitty gritty, because she said at the reunion that like, they were still friends of benefits. Like, they still hung out, and sometimes they would fool around. So I think that that has to be a layer of it, too. It's not like, oh, my God, John and Shannon broke up, and then 9 months later, he's with Alexis. It's like, they broke up. They were still, she was posting pictures of him. Remember, they were like, is that a good idea? You probably shouldn't. Like, it's kind of weird. It seems like the lines are blurred. Like, something tells me that it was a lot closer. Him getting with Alexis was a lot closer to them. Like, they were still communicating.
Oh, 100%.
You know.
Absolutely. And I think that they were doing this weird exes with benefits dynamic, which is not great. And I'm a chump. I listen to Jeff Lewis Live, and he is good friends with Shannon, as we saw, and how he stood up for her on Watch What Happens, which I appreciated. But he would have conversations with her when she guested on the radio after her breakup of like, this is not, you know, like, first off, what's happening? Mm-hmm. And also, is this a good idea, like, to not totally cut the ties, but also you're saying that you're okay not defining it. Does Shannon seem like someone who's okay not defining a relationship, who was really in control and who would not let go? Like, how much of her refusing to let go, or maybe being in some way upset, I hate to use the word bitter, I don't mean it, I'm not, you know, like,
but
there's something about, like, I feel like she was doing, yes, I would be too, of course I would. Like, and so how much of that is influencing terrible decisions she's making about the ways that she's using alcohol to cope, which is not out of sorts for them in seemingly the entirety of their relationship.
Yep.
They both normalized sort of almost a minimum here of drinking in their day-to-day together that I think they probably bonded over. So all of this is like leading into this terrible decision and how that's going to be magnified now over the course of probably 17 episodes or whatever it is. She's in a really, really tough dynamic. And I think a big part of it is trying to figure out how to let go.
Yeah.
And the other part is, the thing that I love about Shannon, but that makes me worried about Shannon, is I don't want to love Shannon more than Shannon loves herself. Ooh. And I think we saw a lot of growth on Watch What Happens. I really do think that our girl is on a journey. I think she seemed understandably very fragile and sensitive during the premiere. I do think that's going to continue over the course of the season. And then there's some sort of, she will explode as she does periodically, also known as annually. And on Watch What Happens, I think that a little bit of time and space has given her more of an opportunity to like seek strength from herself.
Absolutely.
But I also wonder, how is that affecting her relationships with the other women? I want Shannon to live independently. But also, is she finding a place for herself on the show where it feels like she's independent from the group?
Yeah.
That is the worst case scenario as a viewer, even though I want her to be the best.
Correct.
I want her to be happy and safe and, you know, stable.
I think that she... It seems like, I listened to when she was on Jeff Lewis, she was like, there are people I talk to, like, I definitely am not, I really don't think she's completely alienated. And I know Heather did an interview and she was like, Shannon and I were texting the other day. I don't think she's as close.
Yeah.
But to be fair with Shannon, I think a big complaint about her for years has been a lot of women have felt she hasn't had a vested interest in any of them for a long time. So I do think that it is a different thing for, and I'm not saying for Heather and Tamara, they've known each other for a long time. But, you know, with like Gina and Emily, they would be like, okay, we've been here for 6 years now and you're not invested in us. So I think some of it is a bit of her own making. Her feeling, it feels like she doesn't have anything to grab onto. But maybe in the wreckage of that, some new relationships can form. You know what I mean? And she can really, it seems like, it really does seem like Gina really just decided to, and she's better than me, because I don't think I would rub it in Shannon's face, but I would be really upset.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really triggering.
Mm-hmm. And there's a camera crew. You could seek revenge.
Yeah, totally. This is what you get paid to do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it's going to be, and I think Heather's going to play this really great. Something tells me. I was just like watching and I was like, she, because her and Tamara are good again after last year, and she's not going to ruin that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we love seeing Hannon versus Shannon. Hannon.
Hannon and her sisters?
Heather versus and her sisters. Shannon, yeah.
Heather and her sisters. I'm into it.
We love seeing Heather versus Shannon, but that intense is not going to happen either, because no one wants to kick someone when they're down. So I think it's going to be a good balance. And I think there's going to be little moments, but I think Heather's going to remain pretty, she's way closer with Tamara, but I think she's going to remain there for Shannon. I do. I think that's evident in like her coming over and her showing her the picture. And like, I think that like, I do think that like, it's not going to be a gang up. And I think that these women know that. That just doesn't work. It does. It's never, I can't think of a single, sometimes in hindsight, sometimes you'll go back and you'll be like, okay, well that, they were acting weird, mm-hmm. or like they really weren't a good fit for the show. Mm-hmm. But when it airs, you just want to root for the person because you're kind of like, oh my God, you know, like it's tough.
I think Shannon too is a little difficult because I think it with friendships, you know, you try to, it's, you hear that in romantic relationships and it certainly applies to platonic that mm-hmm. like in working to be 100%, you ideally it's a 50-50, but sometimes it's 90-10. Sometimes yeah. it's 30-70. It's like sometimes a person needs more than maybe you're able to give and you mm-hmm. figure that out. With Shannon, in the way that she's described by Tamara, obviously for years, to a certain extent, Gina and Emily previously, she takes a lot, but mm-hmm. how much does she give? She needs a lot, but how much Correct. Of herself is she extending to support other people? I don't think she's thinking about it consciously, but maybe she needs to start. And on top of that, part of the difficulty here is some of her taking happens late at night mm-hmm. after she's been drinking and mm-hmm. she doesn't remember those conversations. So she's expecting a lot of these people, including trust, loyalty, maybe quiet, secrecy to a certain extent, but also like you're expecting stuff during the daytime that they feel like they're not receiving in kind. And mm-hmm. then there's this whole other element here. So at what point do we kind of look at this and say, do you have capacity and understanding of asking someone else how they are? And if your life is constantly in a spiral where you need that much from your friends, it's not necessarily fair to them and it's not fair to yourself. It's not to say that Shannon can't ask for 150%, but if we're going on 10 years here and there is always a crisis,
mm-hmm.
you, how is this going to, are we going to be able to change the friendships? Because I think if her friends felt more cared for, mm-hmm. they would be able to carry a little bit more of the load.
1000%. I think you just answered your Tamara question from earlier. And I think that it is a issue of not resentment, but just like a buildup.
I think it's resentment.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of that. And I feel like that has been time and time again, no matter who Shannon has been opposed to, outside of like Peggy or someone who she doesn't really know, it usually has boiled down to people being like, you need so much of me and you're not really there for me. Or, you know, it feels like the scales are always with Shannon. It's always, I need 70. I can only give you 30. And then last year, what came to a head was her, the information that she would give and maybe wouldn't remember giving was kind of being used against her because she would act differently versus when she, you know,
well,
so it was a
being
lot.
Referenced, which she took as being used against her. Maybe Correct. It's both.
Right. And I think that I think that's what we're seeing specifically with the Tamara of it all, because out of anybody, they were the closest. We've had moments where they were so inseparable. And then they've always like fought and then come back and then fought and then come back. But I think that like it has just gone to a point where it's just too much.
But can you ever really trust Tamra?
Oh, no. 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 But I think at the same time, maybe I'm coming in here really defending Tamra, but I just think that like there is a baseline of, I don't know. I think there is a trust there. She just does seem like someone who like she says how she feels and she's really reactive, but is there's a genuineness. So when she's really hurt, she's really hurt. And she's gonna, you know what I mean? And I feel like even like with last year's thing with like Heather and Tamra and like them not seeing eye to eye and then them coming back and just being like, we've known each other for so long. And like, I know that we care about each other because, you know, you text me every time it's my birthday or like the anniversary, you're always calling on us. Like, and I feel like, I think that, I don't know. It's a sense that I get that I do feel like if Tamara's your friend, she will do a lot for you and she will ride for you and all those things. I feel like when Shannon's your friend, she's putting a lot on you and she's still your friend. You know what I mean? I'm sure you guys talk on the phone and it's like all those things, but it doesn't seem like she maybe has the same amount of space for you as she expects.
Yeah, but I also don't think that Shannon is cruel. And I think Tamra
is
very frequently and very effectively. And she'll use her sense of almost that she's like entitled to be cruel.
Right.
If there is resentment.
Because of what? Correct.
And it's like, that's not enough of an answer. We've seen you do this for over a decade. I could never trust her, but also the show forces you to, because we want to see those stakes. We want to see those friendships. We want to see those dynamics, but also like, You cross the line in a way that you're rewarded for, but also it leans to me cruel, which is different from mean. It's just she does the thing to cut the deepest, and that's really tough.
Well, that's the difference. Like Heather Dubrow is mean.
Heather Dubrow can be Heather's cold.
She can be cold, and she has moments where she can be. And I say this like with love.
Bitchy.
Like I love. Like
but she's mean.
No, I think there are. I'm the biggest Heather defender, but like I like that. Like I kind of like when someone's a little you know, she'll talk down to you and she'll like be cold, and like she's had some moments where she's just like, shut up, stop, like, you know. And like I think a lot of people would be like, oh, like she's just so mean, and like, but I think with Tamra, like Heather doesn't go to that,
no,
the lowest of the low. And Tamra will go low. Like she will, you like, she'll be like, okay, well, she'll say, it's the you better believe I'm going to talk about it style. If we're gonna bring up Brenna, it's very similar. It's like I am going to say it, and it is cruel. You're right, but I think we need those housewives still.
Oh, I know. I don't disagree with it, and I also think it comes from a difference in their environments. Like Tamra had to fight to survive. She did not grow up like with money,
right?
Like Heather did or Shannon did. She did not have the family structure that Heather did and Shannon did. She had to fight to survive. And some of that energy continues, her fight to stay on the show, her fight to be a success. She is built in a different way. She's created a different person, which she should be commended for. But also as a result of that, she will go as low as she possibly
to the gutter.
Can. It's the delight in it for me. It's the calling Shannon a drunk in a way where I'm like, oh, you're just twisting the knife.
Yeah.
You don't need to twist it that hard.
Yeah.
You've already won at points.
Totally.
She knows that. But she wants to be cruel. Right. That's to me what really kind of crosses the line.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It Which definitely... again is great television.
Right,
but
totally.
I'm not going to agree with her.
No, totally. I mean, listen, we need these housewives on. We don't need to like cheerlead for them. I think that it's very, that's so true. She definitely will like, and it is very, it is like, again, I have my thoughts about Beverly Hills, and I don't think it's just this, but like, I do think, again, like you do need someone, and Renna made her own bed. But you need someone who is going to do that. You need someone who is going to say the thing and is going to be kind of cruel about it. Or else, what are we doing? Which, well, I don't know what we're doing over
Renna
there.
Renna got high on her own supply with Tamra, which Tamra did too.
They exactly. And the pause was great. And I feel like that is, they're very similar in that way. And I think it's Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see. This is like what we've been, this, the build up to a season like this, it has been such hard work to get to this place where like it feels like one of the best casts OC has had in years. I would say since that core, like since the like original Heather, Shannon, Tamra, Vicky, and then either like Megan or like, you know what I mean? Like those years that are 10? Like so.
Oh my God.
Fantastic. And like the Heather's Brooks and the
Redone House.
Oh, incredible.
Oh my God. Like
that. And then even Kelly Dodd's first season is, I think, incredible TV. Season 11, I think, is like.
Was that Ireland?
That's Ireland. Yeah. That's the Boogie Nights party. Oh, that's, my God. Like, that was like. And I was very much, I was like, they're being really mean to Kelly. I was like, they are bullying this girl. And they were. Two things could be true.
But. Shannon inviting her friends. Me like, oh, she fucked who? I had no idea.
It was very Jennifer Aiden inviting, what's her name? It was very that. Yeah.
Lena? Her other one? I don't know. Yeah.
While I live in New York City, and I love living here, regardless of how many times I complain about it, I do miss Rhode Island, especially because it's the home base for my fam. And sure, there have been moments where I've needed to call the Tobes ASAP, and I didn't know where she was. Family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. That's why I love Life 360. It's a great way of staying in touch with my fam back home. Not to say, shout out Tobes, that I'm going to stop calling as often. It brings me comfort to know where they are. Something as simple as wanting to know if Tobes has left the house is so much easier with Life 360. It allows me to avoid making that extra text, what's your ETA, by knowing if she's actually left or if she does the thing that I often do of saying 5 more minutes when you mean 15. Those kinds of custom alerts, including locations, are made possible because of Life 360. You don't have to spend all of that extra time asking about ETAs, location. Are you en route? Have you actually left the house? Allowing me to spend more time on what's most important, ordering a glass of champs and asking my mom if she'd like me to order her an entree. Make everyday family life better. Coordinate activities in real time, keep tabs on your kids, connect with friends, and more. Life 360 allows people to stay connected without constantly bugging them. Custom alerts let you give your kids and loved ones the freedom they crave without compromising trust and communication. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code AndysGirls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code AndysGirls. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. Did you know that you can't see a wrinkle? What we're really seeing is the shadow inside the wrinkle. Top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Lakey has helped countless celebrities achieve flawless complexions both on and off screen. He says the secret is to eliminate the shadow. And there are two ways you can do that. Fill in the crease itself and reflect light away from the shadow.
Fortunately, he's found a way anyone can do just that, to achieve a flawless red carpet look right from home. It's called Deep Wrinkle Filler. Deep Wrinkle Filler combines a unique blend of skin-like polymers and light reflecting diamond dust to visibly fill in the look of fine lines and wrinkles. Best of all, this groundbreaking formula helps nourish the skin to improve its natural texture every time you use it. Now, AGs know I am spiritually mid-20s plus, but I was curious about trying the Deep Wrinkle Filler, and I loved it. I'm one of those people, my beauty regimen is very, very simple. First off, I'm gorgeous, number one, most important. But also, when I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I'm pretty straightforward with cleansers, moisturizer, and oftentimes I don't really wear makeup during the day, unless I feel like Chris Manzo is nearby. I loved using the Deep Wrinkle Filler, and also I gifted one to Tobes as well, who's really enjoying it. It's super easy to use, the applicator is super straightforward, and it fit into an already pretty seamless regimen. Go to beverlyhillsmd.com/andysgirls to get up to 68% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want to visibly fill in stubborn wrinkles, go to beverlyhillsmd.com/andysgirls today. Question for you. Complicated question.
Answer.
How did you feel about Tamra's scene with Sophia?
Well, two things. First, to give props to Bravo and Tamra, I love the transparency. Another fourth wall thing. I love that she was just like, she could not film until she was 18. She's been here the whole time.
Yep.
Her dad wouldn't release her, and now she wants to. She's here, so now she's going to do it. Which I think in the past, it would be like, oh, I have a daughter. You know, this would be like very... Right.
Right.
I think that is so complicated. Like, I'm just like, ugh. Even like talking about Sydney, like, I'm just like, maybe we just don't. But at the same time, I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent. And I think that we ask a lot of these women. And if this is her life and she wants to talk about it, she has to deal with those consequences.
But it's not even her talking about her life. It's her. It's asking her daughter questions that she knows will make her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And oh, is Sophia, that a part of her job? Is she going into that scene, into this moment, thinking, I know that Sophia won't want to answer, and that's enough of an answer, but I need to cry.
Right.
And I'm not, this is not me being like, you're a terrible person. This is me saying, this is like so fucking nuanced, potentially, and complicated.
Right.
Because there's no part of me that thinks that Tamra is walking into that scene, knowing her child as well as she does, thinking Sophia's going to be comfortable having this conversation. But does that mean that she's in a position where she can't ask it? Is her job in contradiction with maybe what her role would be ordinarily?
Right.
Or is she someone who's bringing this shit up when the cameras aren't up and her kid is like, shut the fuck up, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't think there's a world where Sophia did not know that was coming. I don't.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I hope she did.
I really think, especially because she hasn't filmed in so long,
yeah.
I am sure.
Okay.
At some point, maybe not that day, I'm sure at some point it was like, this is probably going to come up, and I probably just want to make this clear because people would maybe ask, well, your one daughter's here, but what about, you know? And I think, again, just to give the benefit of the doubt, because I think it's really hard. I'm not a parent, but even like they say that too a lot with like, because Margaret has kids who she's estranged from, and I think I can't imagine that. Like, that is awful, and it like stemming from a divorce and like sides being picked and all those things. And again, I don't think, I'm like, it's not even worth talking about her if you want her to come back. But at the same time, it's her decisions to deal with. And I do think Sophie was uncomfortable, and like, I wouldn't like that either. But I genuinely do think that like, you're going to have that conversation before. This isn't, Housewives isn't, you know, it's not surveillance like a summer house. It's like, you're filming on Thursday at 4.
You're getting tattoos. We're going to the
correct. And she gave her hard no, and like, she's allowed to do that. And also at the same time, Tamra can cry about her daughter not being in her life. You know,
And I didn't know, Lord knows we've learned a lot about parental alienation through everything that's happened with Tamara and Simon. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it because I didn't know a lot of like the nitty gritty of all of this. Mm-hmm. But the sibling alienation, I did not expect.
Me neither.
Know that Sydney had,
no,
from what we're led to believe, from what we understand, that she had cut off her siblings. That made me devastated. Because then it's like, to be Sophia, you did nothing wrong. What was done wrong was your parents getting a divorce. Now you've lost your relationship with your father potentially as a result, and also your sister. Like, what the fuck?
No, it is really, that really shocked me too. And it's just so sad. It's so sad. Life is so short. And like, for that to be, it's,
well, it's complicated. Awful. Life can be incredibly complicated. Yes.
And at the same time, I'm also very team, what show am I thinking of? Miami. Mm-hmm. I'm also very team, you need to have your boundaries. I hated how the women policed Dr. Nicole on how she wanted to handle her now late father and the relationship.
Totally.
The like, well, he's your blood, you should whatever. And it's like, no. He is my father, yes. I have my boundaries for this reason, and I don't have to, like, I think it is a weird, sometimes we can get very antiquated with like how we operate with family just because they're family. So I think that there's a line there too, because it's kind of like, okay, no, like it doesn't matter. Like, those are her boundaries, and like, it is what it is. And it seems like they got to a place where she was in a great place with him before he unfortunately passed away. But like, I think that that's also the stuff that reads the most, that makes you kind of lean in and you learn more about these women. Mm-hmm. And people can connect with that. I'm sure there are people at home who are like, oh my gosh, like either I haven't talked to my mom in 10 years or my daughter and whatever. I think it's way more common than we realize. But yeah, there were a lot of rough moments. Like between that, Gina and Travis, it was like an unexpectedly very vulnerable premiere.
Which is why I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just so...
It was like, a mix of all.
I was not expecting the Gina Travis, the whatever he's going through with his ex-wife in that divorce, whatever is happening makes me feel so uncomfortable. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Tell me literally everything for several hours, because there is a big goddamn long story there. And the way that it has essentially infected Gina's relationship with Travis is really fascinating to me.
It has to be.
Terrible.
And I don't want to like assume or anything. That has to be really bad.
Like, no, it has, I feel, to like be
something
terrible.
Wasn't clicking in terms of like, we don't have all the context, but from what I can tell, this is bad. You know,
yeah.
It's bad.
It's not, there's something that is, I wonder if we'll get more information. I wonder what Gina is comfortable saying. I wonder what Travis
maybe
is
it's
comfortable
not her
Gina
place.
Saying. Yeah, it might not
and
be.
And at the same time, I mean, last year, to be fair, like, and I think this is brought up by Watch What Happens Live. Like, her whole storyline, Heather, was like, you got to stop talking and, like, draining him, bringing up Matt over and over and over and, like, your proceedings and things. So, like, I do think that, like, exes do fill up so much, especially when you have kids with them. They fill up so much air in the room of a relationship. And it just makes me sad because I know they're good now and they're still together now, but like that is really hard.
Yeah. And who is having that conversation with Travis? Or is it completely out of his control? Is it like this terrible thing happened today and happened tomorrow and happened the day after?
You could tell that it felt like his hands were tied. Like he just was like, and not in a mad, he was almost like understanding of it and just was like, I don't even want to, I can't believe. And I'm sure filming makes it feel way more final. Mm. You know, it's tough. And then she's getting blown up with emails about Jen Padronti not paying
her
rent.
Oh my God, Jennifer. Lord, get an apartment. Get something you can afford.
It was so stressful. I was like, but also, there's something about her that's so, she just believes with all her heart.
I know,
and
I love
she's
her so much.
Earnest.
I love her so much.
I think it's like, there's so many balls in motion, this show. Like, I'm like, we are back. I'm like, these are my stories. Like, I just love it. And I feel like, we're in this mode now. I love seasons where, like, you know, something happens and then we go back and it's like we see like foreshadowing or like, so we know how this is going to end with Ryan. So like now we're just watching and we're seeing, and but it doesn't feel as dire as like the Erica Tom season. Like that was like we were watching with a literal like microscope, like looking, and like it was a true crime show for like a year.
And we were actually reading on like the cast.
Oh, we... That really long article. Oh,
for
my God.
For real. Who has the time?
Again, Crystal, I had the time.
Crystal's like, I wrote notes.
I'm so upset. Ugh.
I know. Maybe she'll be back to friend of. Who's to say? Listen, in the meantime, Jared Alexander, I could record with you literally all day. This was an absolute highlight. Love your voice. Love hearing your perspective. You need a comeback stat. We need to have a conversation about New Jersey.
No, I know. We can. You want to talk a little bit?
Can you talk a little bit?
Yeah, I could do like 5 more minutes. Okay, 10 more minutes. Let's talk about Jersey. It's like on the mind. But ask, we got to talk.
Okay, so how are we feeling about the future of New Jersey? What would you like to happen?
And that's our time.
What would you like to happen? What do you think will happen?
First, I want to say that I think the season low-key is eating. Like, I don't think it's perfect. I think A plus.
But there's some stuff here.
Yeah, no, things are happening. Yeah. I think people are being a little disingenuous when they're like, this is the worst season ever. I'm like, no.
Things are happening. They haven't seen
the twins. Correct. And for how divided the cast is compared to like a Potomac or compared to like other shows, it's still kind of working, which is wild. It's definitely a one season thing, but like every episode's good. And the stuff and Margaret's screenshot, like I mentioned before, I think that just set so much in motion. It was a brilliant move. And now all these other fights are popping off because of it. And it, you know, they have the Jackie of it all, the Dolores of it all. You have then Teresa actually admitting on camera that she's just using Jackie a little bit. Like, it just is wild. For the future, these are one of those moments, Sarah, where I'm like, people get paid a lot of money to make these decisions, and I still wouldn't want to be them because, and I, maybe a lot of people wouldn't feel this way. I genuinely do feel like both Teresa and Melissa are huge for the show. Obviously, no one is debating that Teresa Giudice is Teresa Giudice. She's on the Mount Rushmore. You can't talk about Housewives without talking about Teresa.
Agreed.
But I think we have to also say that, like, Melissa being there since season 3 is also what made all of this successful. And they, I say this all the time, like, I think tree huggers take up a lot of real estate online, rightfully so. Teresa's amazing. She's one of the best to ever do it. Great. You would think that nobody likes Melissa if you are just on, let's say, Twitter. You go to BravoCon, the Gorkas can't even walk through. Like, they are huge talent. And I think people don't realize that, like, the network is, they're paying these people. Like, especially because they've been on for more than 10 years. Like, they're making a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And they're invested in them because, like, they do, people do really like them. I think sometimes we get so stuck in our, like, whatever social media we're looking at. And we're like, oh my God, like, no one, like, Melissa's over or whatever people want to say. And I think it's not necessarily true. So I think it's tough. I would like a little beat, let things simmer, and then see. I don't see them getting rid of Teresa, though. And I love, I don't want Melissa to leave, but if they were, had to pick, it would either, to me, in my mind, be Teresa gets her own show. She does her own thing, which I could see totally happening. And then you just continue on and you maybe get rid of some other people and you kind of retool it a little bit and then you keep people. But I don't know. It's what bums me out about this season is that this isn't a scenario, again, to tie this back to the beginning, like a Roni, where 5 million things are wrong. The issue really lies in like 2 to 3 people who like no matter how you feel about it, lines were crossed in some ways we've never seen. We're like,
who are the 2 to 3 people?
I would say like Melissa, Teresa, and Marge.
Okay,
and
sorry,
then maybe Jen.
Sorry,
a little bit.
I interrupted.
Yeah, no, you're good. And I would say that like lines were crossed, whether you believe it happened or not. Like it's like the calling Marge's son, that is a line that clearly, again, I think if we zoom out, like clearly the network is respecting these boundaries that they're filming again with them and didn't even make a decision because like it has to be that serious, you know? And I think that you could keep Teresa and get rid of Melissa, but then we would have to retool it. I don't think it's just, you just get rid of Melissa and then like, it feels like Margaret's drawn her line in the sand too. And then maybe, I don't know. See, you know, I'm like, I'm just spinning out. I think, I don't know. And then there's also the layer of, which I don't know if you've been following a bit, but there's just like the whole social media aspect and like certain stuff where, and again, I feel like she's been great for the show. Talk about a chaos agent. With Jennifer Aiden.
Absolutely.
It does feel like a line has been crossed. And especially if we talk about, again, we can point to other things. If Reality Von Teese is a hard no, what is the difference between allegedly, I mean, there are screenshots, but allegedly giving things, paying accounts, doing all these things to like do your dirty work online? It's the same thing. So I think that, like, you could tell, I don't know, I wouldn't want to make these decisions at all. I just wouldn't. But what bums me out, what I was going to say, is that this isn't a scenario where, like with Roni, or maybe the talent isn't working anymore. I think all of them across the board are great talent. And that's what's frustrating. I think, like, even Rachel and Danielle, I think are really great finds. Yeah. Great housewives, great family. They show up glamorous, interesting. They're willing to fight. Mm. They have unique perspectives. Dolores, incredible. We fucking love Dolores. I think Margaret, a great Real Housewife. Melissa, great. Teresa, great. Jen Aiden, great. Like, Jen Fessler, great. Jackie, great. Like, I think that these are, like...
Great for Jackie? Come on. I think we're... Come on.
That was a little... But I think compared to, let's say, like, other shows where, like, it's really hard to cast. Like, yeah. These are... This has been... This structure of the cast, outside of Fouda and Danielle, they've been together for longer than... The OG, the first 5 years. This really works. So I think that's what makes me sad, is that I think because of the decisions of few, we're going to lose a lot of really great talent in a time where I think it's really a lot harder to find good talent nowadays than it used to be.
And speaking of chaos agents, Jen Aiden has been seemingly let off of her very short leash and is going to be on Watch What Happens this Sunday after being, there was like a moratorium on her doing literally anything, saying anything. She's going to be on Watch What Happens and maybe that will be it. They feel like we're giving you this one thing, or who knows what.
Maybe she'll be able to do other press.
She's been in a long timeout.
Yeah, it's been pretty clear. And I feel like I always, like, maybe like as a fan of the show, I usually don't fall on the side of like Jen and Teresa, let's say. But I've always been like, she is like, we need her on the show.
Yeah.
She's a really great housewife. I do feel like things have just gotten like, it's not fun anymore to watch the show. And then you also have to see what's happening online, because like there's like all these other things and accounts, and it's just not fun, you know? So I think that like they have some decisions. What do you think? What do you want to see happen? It makes me sad. It really makes me sad.
It makes me really sad. I think that there were significant lines crossed. And the thing that annoyed me as a Bravo viewer is that it was impacting plot in a way that I thought was just so overly manipulative and cringe and like, hashtag get a hobby. Like, it's just, come on, you're talented enough. You don't need to do this. And if you feel like you do, you need to muscle that talent a little bit more. I think the Jim Leonard stuff too, just as a part of that, is very, very strange. It makes me feel extremely uncomfortable. And I do think that lines were crossed. And I think Bravo, I guess, magically found a code of conduct when it came to telling Kenya to hit the road. Right. And I just wonder why they haven't mailed that to Franklin Lakes. Because I just think that they're, I don't know. It's like, can we not even admit that there were things? And this isn't specific to the rumors about what was going on with Teresa and Jen and Jim Leonard and content creators. This is just like other things where lines have been crossed. Where, at what point,
like the Bo Dietl stuff, or like
the Sun stuff, like at what point do we say this is too much? Like, how do we decide that what is, I think most people can admit, absolutely crossed the line in Atlanta? Where's that conversation in New Jersey? If the network is unprepared to have it, the expectation for having it can't shift to the Bravo community. So then, like, what the fuck are we even talking about right now? Because there are all of these different elephants in the room. You're expecting us not to acknowledge it. The cast at some points refuses to acknowledge it. And then the other parts of the cast are like, I can't acknowledge anything else but this.
Yep.
So it's just, it's a little bit of a shit show, and it's unfortunate. And I think a big part of the responsibility here is production and the network for deciding to redraw the line. Like, correct, this is what's going to happen. If you redraw the line, or you say there is no line, people are going to cross it. And then how can you even blame them at a certain point? I mean, you can, but how can you blame them when you're not setting it? It's at a certain point, it's like parent-child roles here. Yes. You need to tell the kid when they've done wrong. Otherwise, they're going to do worse. How are they going to know better?
Correct. And I think, again,
and you're paying them millions of dollars as a collective, not one person, but as a collective, millions of dollars on the cast.
It is so much. And I think, again, there has to be validity to some of it, because if they're giving directives of, you can come back and you don't even have to be in the same room as this person, we just want you back, tells me that things are that serious. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like, if it was like, okay, well, that's how you feel, that's good, we'll see you later. It doesn't seem like that. It seems like these things are really serious. It's really dark. And it did feel like we were in this loop with Jersey where, like, they would rap. So much would happen in between at BravoCon and all these things, calling children, all these things. And then we'd go to the reunion. We wouldn't even be talking about the season. It would be about 5 million other things, or finding out that, like, you know, how, like, Jen already brought up that rumor at the reunion before that Danielle wasn't even at. And then it's just like, the plot was lost, I think. And again, I don't want to say, obviously, like I said, I'm way more of a fan of that Margaret's side, if you're going to pick or Melissa's side. But I do think that, like, all of them engage and are messy. All of them have quote-unquote arsenals. All of them have done these things. I think it just got a little too dirty on that side, from my perspective, where it's just not even fun anymore. And it's just for what? Literally for what? When, like you said, like, you are still so funny and you're still a great housewife, or, like, you don't need to operate. I feel like that style of housewifery, and let's say Teresa also, I does think operate in a certain way of, like, bringing stuff up and other people will do the dirty work kind of for you. Like an LVP kind of way, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's like someone, whoever's closest to her, is going to bring it up. Whether it is Brandy's going to bring it up, or Lisa Rinna's going to bring it up, or Teddy's going to bring it up, or, right.
It's the human sacrifice of being a close friend.
Yes. And you operate. That style of housewifery is incredible. It's one of the rule book. It's like one of the ways we've watched it. It always has an expiration date. You can never keep that up forever. Ever. And it feels like Jennifer Aydin was able to do that. And I'm not saying Teresa came up with everything, but she was kind of able to really fight her battles for a long time. There is always an expiration date for that. And who suffers is the messenger. Yeah. And Teresa already is just so big that it kind of doesn't matter. But, like, it feels like to me, like, Jen might wind up taking the fall for kind of fighting Teresa's battles in a lot of ways, which is a bummer. Whereas, like, I can say, like, Margaret's thing with Teresa does not have to do with Melissa really anymore. The line with Louis and Teresa crossed for Margaret separately. Mm-hmm. Like, for a year, like, Margaret forgave Teresa after the hair pull. And then after Nashville, she forgave her again. And then this stuff happened. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, I feel like with Jen, it is just this constant loop of, like, wait, why do you hate Melissa? Or, like, why do you hate, you know what I mean?
And maybe one day Teresa will see that the reason a lot of this stuff is happening, I'm not taking away from any responsibility she may or may not have to bear, but to me, the reason a lot of stuff of this is happening is because of your husband. So
don't get me started.
I know. We can't. We ran out of time.
No, you're good.
I'm going to have you back ASAP so we can continue mentioning it all. In the meantime, can you tell the EGs where they can follow you on social?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram at TheJaredAlex and on TikTok now at TheJaredAlexander.
Oh, my God.
And on Twitter, I'm still on X or whatever. It's just like, quick housewife, like, people are still posting about housewives so much there, so unfortunately I'm there when housewives are airing at Hey It's Jared. But yeah, so those three, and you'll see, like, my writings and musings and all the things.
I love all the things. Speaking of all the things, guys, have you signed up for the Andy Scrolls Patreon? It's the number one way of supporting the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts, feels, questions, and concerns named in honor for Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben Simone so that I can unpack them on an upcoming Patreon Satchel Spectacular. Slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley, or email me a thesis at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. Jared Alexander, this was a total joy. Literally come back tomorrow.
It was so fun. No,
literally, we're getting it on the calendar. You need to be regular.
Also, I don't live far anymore. I just moved. So
I'm
in Long Island City. So it took me, I was like, I got behind on a meeting, but, like, it took me no time at all. So we'll have to do another claw office.
Did you?
I just took the 7 one stop to Grand Central and then the 6.
Oh, great.
Because I live off Vernon Jackson.
Oh, wait, because this Central, you can't.
Sorry, the 4-5. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the same thing. Because the queue, once you figure out a way to run some errands where the queue is,
I'll take that home.
That's going to change your life.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much to all of you for listening, taking a little trip up to this podcast, and we will chat with you soon. Bye bye.